But I ask you please to turn with me to the 12th chapter of the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 12, beginning to read from the first verse. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us?" And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all of the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam, "Come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation." And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle, and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, not in dark speeches and in similitude of the Lord and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed, and the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, "Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not this sin upon us wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb." And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee." Would you turn over, please, to 1 Samuel, first book of Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3. There's a verse or two that we might read, I think, in chapter 1. Chapter 1 of 1 Samuel, and we break into this at verse 27, Hannah speaking about the birth of Samuel. "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. So as long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord," and he worship the Lord there. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, and there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God." Now chapter 3 and verse 20. "And all Israel, from Dan unto Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord." A few verses in the book of Daniel again. Daniel chapter 6, verse 4. "Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they found none occasion or fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him." One or two scriptures in the New Testament. the first chapter of the Epistle to the Galatians. Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. But it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and revealed and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after three years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save Jesus, the Lord's brother. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 23, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Now, after the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament. In my blood, this do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you, Lord, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4, this scripture which was read last evening, but I want to look at the verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then they which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Finally, a verse or two in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 1, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I'd like to venture a few more words about the subject of revelation. It is an amazing and wonderful thing that God has, in all the dispensations, raised up men. And last evening we were charmed again with the wonderful story of of how God raised up Moses. What a beautiful illustration of how God raised Moses from infancy to serve him and to be instrumental in the day that he lived for the revelation of the things of God. And how wonderfully the truth of God for his day was made known to Moses. The three Old Testament characters that we've read about, Moses, Samuel, and Daniel, all were characterized by faithfulness. You will notice that they each were designated faithful. Faithful men, raised up of God to reveal the truth of the, in their case, the truth of the Old Testament scriptures that leads on to what we've read in the New Testament. But what I want to particularly draw your attention to was that both Moses and Samuel, from infancy, were raised up of God and became, if you think of the law and the prophets, they became the instruments in the hands of God for the revelation of precious truth in their days. And the wonder of revelation is explained to us as we see men who were taken by the hand of God and raised up. And of course, this is wonderfully illustrated in the beautiful story of Moses that we had last evening. Similarly, there is a beautiful story about Samuel being raised up. And, you know, the details of Hannah's prayer are wonderful, showing very clearly that she had, in fact, the mind of God with regard to a son who would be used of God and how mightily he was used. And in the little verse that we read, in the margin of the authorized version, of most authorized versions, the word established as a prophet is translated faithful. And of course, if we had read a verse or two later on, it tells us how he faithfully carried out his duties in the circuit into which he was introduced as a prophet. So that in the law and in the prophets, God brought to light through the instrumentality of those men. Now, the little incident that we read in Numbers 12, the reason for reading it was I wanted to talk about the fact that God spoke to Moses mouth to mouth. There's a verse in the New Testament about, in Timothy, if you remember, about God-breathed words. And I believe that this idea of mouth-to-mouth communication to Moses is the similar idea of God-breathed. And the revelation that we have in the Old Testament is God-breathed words that came through the instrumentality of those men, Moses, Samuel, Daniel. And the little verse that we read in Daniel 6, which we had yesterday, indicated clearly that he was designated faithful. Faithful men. And what I want to do is to try to translate this into our own experience and seek that we, as we deal with these things, might be characterized by faithfulness to the Word of God. God has communicated his word to men that he raised up and gave power to. Now, I want to look at the four notable, now I'm saying four, but it may be that there are more than four, so I'd say at least four indications concerning the Apostle Paul where he had direct revelations from God. I don't know when he got them. Some people might think it was when he was in the backside of the desert. Some might think it was when he was translated out to an out-of-the-world condition. But four revelations he gave and very clearly stated. And the first one is in this book of to the Galatians, the epistle to the Galatians. And there he speaks about the liberty of the gospel. And of course, this Galatian epistle, as we very well know, goes on to indicate the wonderful liberty of the Spirit into which we have been brought. And he speaks about the fact that he didn't receive this from others. He received it directly from the Lord. And to those Galatians who had gone astray and needed corrected, then he indicated how clearly there is in that revelation that he gave in the gospel, when he preached to them, there is the liberty of the gospel, the liberty of the Spirit of God, and he develops that particularly in chapter 5. I'm not going to go into the details of the fruits of the Spirit in chapter 5, but there you find the line of spirituality developed, and there you find the truth of the indwelling Spirit of God as the guide and director in our lives. The next one is in 1 Corinthians 11, and there he says, I received of the Lord. So this question of liberty is very essential, that we might be able to enjoy in the Spirit of God the liberty that the gospel brings us into, and that we might be able then to respond to what's said before us in 1 Corinthians 11. For he received of the Lord what he delivered unto them, and the details of the Lord's Supper are indicated. Now, the progress of the Christian testimony in believers is that every believer, and rejoicing in the liberty of the Spirit of God, would see the necessity to answer in loyalty to the Lord Jesus in remembering him. Now, there may be somebody in the company tonight who might be thinking along those lines as to responding to the Lord Jesus. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, of course you have within the indwelling Spirit as the guide and director for your pathway here. And one of the, perhaps, the first things that you would want to think about was how to respond to the wonderful love that has reached you through the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the details are that we read together in 1 Corinthians 11 indicate for us how the Lord would have us to respond to his desire that we remember him, and how wonderful it is to be able to do this. And this is the privilege and the responsibility of every true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, to remember him in the breaking of bread. And so the details of the chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians indicate to us the loyalty that becomes us as those who belong to the Lord Jesus. So, young people, if there's somebody here tonight and you're not yet breaking bread with the believers, if you don't enjoy the privilege of worship together with them, then let's encourage you tonight to make that move and step in that direction and indicate your desire to remember him in his death. So liberty, loyalty. When we come to Ephesians 3, we come to the question of unity. By revelation, the Apostle Paul received this wonderful indication. We've been thinking these days along the lines of what is prophetic with regard to the nation of Israel. But on this particular occasion, a revelation was given to the Apostle Paul with regard to this kind of unity that brought together the believers, the Jewish believers and the Gentile believers, together into one body. And that unity that exists is the unity of the Spirit of God. And course, the next chapter opens out for us the question about the unity. But the third thought, and I'm not going to press these any more than just to say, the question of unity is one that we need to think about. The oneness of the body of Christ. And the way in which the apostle has developed this, not only in Ephesians, but in Romans, and in Corinthians, and in Ephesians, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 3 and 4, the question of the unity of the body of Christ, the one body, and the necessary consideration for us as to maintain or endeavoring to maintain or to keep. We don't make the unity of the Spirit. The unity of the Spirit already exists, but we have to endeavor, and this is where we come to see that those men in the Old Testament were characterized by faithfulness. So we are going to try to pin the idea of faithfulness to the question of liberty, entering into the true liberty of the Spirit of God and in the enjoyment of things, and also to enter into the question of loyalty to the Lord Jesus, to come and express our desire to remember him in the breaking of bread, and necessarily to think about the wonderful fact of entering into unity. In all those channels, there is a question raised with us individually as to our faithfulness, our desire to be faithful as those three Old Testament men were, Moses, Samuel, and Daniel, faithful men of God in their day. And of course, the Apostle Paul filling up in his day the question of faithfulness, how he could say, I have fought a good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. A faithful man, and the words of a faithful man who received a revelation from God and indicated to us those precious truths. Now the one in 1 Thessalonians 4, not liberty, not loyalty, not unity, but expectancy. We are expecting and we are looking forward to a wonderful time when the Lord Jesus will come to call us to be with himself. And the details of that wonderful event when the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, and it's the moment of an expectancy for all our hearts. We anticipate that glorious moment when the Lord Jesus will call us to his side, when we'll rise to meet him, all believers, dead and living, rising in the twinkling of an eye, to meet him there in the air. Well, that's the expectancy of the believer. But I want to just finish with the precious thought that's in those verses that we read in Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 2. The same, commit thou unto faithful men. This is the apostle's words to his apostolic delegate, Timothy. The same, commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So it's to be handed down the line. And that's the exercise that we need to take up, each one of us. In our own areas, in our own circle, we need to take up the question of personal faithfulness, which will result in company faithfulness and will result in our communicating through the channel of the Word of God, communicating spiritual things by spiritual means and faithfully endeavoring to maintain this kind of unity. So the thoughts that prompted me to speak about this revelation were particularly the thoughts of the revelation given to the Apostle Paul. For the truth of the church, the truth of the unity, the truth of the one body, are all in the epistles of Paul, And there he outlines the path for us in this day in which we live. Interesting as it is to be occupied with prophecy, to think about the future, to think about the wonderful day that we've been talking about today, when the Lord Jesus will take the reins of government, and when he shall reign from the rivers to the ends of the earth, and when everything that hath breath shall praise him. But there's something that needs in each one of us to be taken personally to our hearts as we leave here and go in our several ways. There are things that we need to lay to heart. And the lessons, of course, of faithfulness in Moses, the lessons of faithfulness in Samuel, the lessons of faithfulness in Daniel, indicate for us the necessity for faithfulness today, in our day, and for the continuation of this testimony, because we recognize and have had it before us very clearly that we're in a day of apostasy. We're in a day when men are turning their backs on God. And consequently, in a day of apostasy, the second book of Timothy, particularly probably the second chapter, indicates for us the path of the faithful in a day of apostasy. Now, the details, of course, are set out in those various scriptures and in many more, the details of the truth of the valid Word of God today and the revelation that has been given and the revelation that we have in our hands here, the revelation from God. What a wonderful thing that we have this, and it binds a responsibility upon every one of us that we respond in faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, may the Lord help us in these matters, for his name's sake.